Both the stars of Find, a PBS new weekly series that is from the same team that brought us This Old House and asked This Old House. And it's an interesting show. It's into the world of design, style, antiques, and furnishings. I understand that you and your brother, both at the age of 12, said that you were antique dealers already. What is it about the old stuff and finding treasures appealed to you so much, even when you were young?
Well, Mark, I think that everyone is a bit of a treasure hunter when you think about it. And for Leslie and me, it was growing up on this farm in upstate New York, and it was 100 acres that was just to us a big treasure hunt every day, because we had barns and foundations of old buildings, and if it wasn't digging up lead bullets or finding an old coin or a swirl marble, it was digging at a battle dump, and we were constantly bringing home treasures. And I think it almost, that kind of thing starts at the beach, doesn't it? When you're 5 years old and you're bringing home shells at the beach when you're with mom and dad, that's a form of collecting, you know. And then you compare, and then you build, and you. So anyway, for us, it's just in our blood.
It's interesting. I mean, the kids nowadays, they collect Pokemon cards and baseball cards, which we did. And all
my
that kind
5-year-old,
of stuff.
My 5-year-old collects those and Yu-Gi-Oh cards and all those. But he also started. My son started collecting marbles recently. And the neat thing is, he said the other day, he said, "Dad, I want to get one of those swirl marbles, the ones that you talked about on the TV show." So we had an episode recently with marbles. So hopefully he'll stick to the marbles instead of the Pokemon.
That was actually an amazing episode. I saw that episode.
Thank you.
With the marbles. And I really like the show, because I think all of us are hoping one day that maybe someone will go in their house and go, you know, that table's worth $2,000, you know?
Absolutely. And there's so many treasures, Mark, out there that I think that are just waiting to be discovered. They're out there, and they are. And you know, everyone I think has something that they're curious about that they may have inherited or bought at a tag sale or at an antique show, and we've been filming. We're really excited because Les and I have been filming over the last 3-4 months, and we now have about I think almost 12 episodes in the can, and so to speak. And some of those discoveries are just amazing. The things that have turned up in attics, and they won't be airing now for a few weeks, but, you know, things that people had no idea. There's one lady that, I can't say anything, I've been sworn to secrecy, but it was a masterpiece in the attic will be in a future episode. She had no idea. And
I assume you're getting pitched by a lot of people to come to their houses and stuff. How are you choosing where to go?
Well, actually, if they say they'll make a good cup of coffee for us and an apple pie or something, then we're there, you know. So, no, I'm kidding. Okay, we look at pictures and then we take a look at those digital images or mail images, and based on those pictures, you know, we'll decide whether or not we can come by with the cameras. And the nice thing about that is that we get to do some homework, Mark, you know, on the pieces, so that if there's some toys there or some Oriental rugs or Tiffany lamps, for instance, we check with the experts in those areas that really know. And so when we show up in the house, we're prepared. And now, having said that, you can look under the bed. We might find something under the bed there, and that gets filmed, even though we never saw it. We hadn't seen pictures of it.
Yeah, I remember the Queenian dressing table from 1760 that you checked out
Someone's house. With the replaced top, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that was a nice lady, and I loved her basement, too. That was Jen. That was the first show we actually taped. And, yeah, you remember that basement down by the washer and dryer?
Yeah, inside a cabinet, she had all this cool stuff.
Yeah. Do you have anything home, Mark, that you think is a treasure?
Just my children.
Just your children. I hear you.
I don't think so. I mean, my grandmother left us some antiques, but I have no idea what they're worth. In fact, I sold a ton of them to somebody at a yard sale, and I know that they got unbelievable deals on them. But
that guy that moved that bought an island off the coast of Florida recently. Just kidding.
No, I mean, you know, but it's interesting. I mean, I don't have any idea what they're worth, but I go to yard sales all the time, and I buy CDs and videos and things like that I know what the value is, records. So everybody has some kind of expertise in something or other.
Yep.
And
yeah, true. So what's your favorite? So what, did you collect something as a child yourself?
Well, I always collected records ever since I was a little kid.
So you still have them?
I do, yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's,
yeah, I've kept them. I built, actually built a room in my home for them.
Oh, that's really neat. And it's some of those, there are people that really know that area, for instance, and I'm sure you've probably gotten them appraised, or have you gotten somebody to get an idea of what they're worth?
I have, yeah. In fact, they're insured.
Okay.
Yeah. It's interesting, though. I mean, the first thing I remember when I was a kid, I went to a store, and they had a couple of records that they were selling just to get rid of, and I bought Somewhere in the City by Lovin' Spoonful for 9 cents. I'll never forget that. It was my first big bargain.
9 cents?
9 cents.
Did you bargain down from 10 or not?
No, it was, they were asking for a quarter, and I got it for 9 cents.
That's good for you.
And then I went to a laundromat where they were giving away records for when you bought a wash or something, and I got Solitary Man by Neil Diamond. I remember that. That was a big find for me.
Oh, yeah.
So these kind of things I remember, and I really enjoy the show because all of us love that kind of stuff, and that's why, you know, Antique Roadshow did so well that you were a part of. And,
oh, yeah.
And I'm sure that Find is going to do just as well. And for folks in Boston, where we record, the show actually begins. It's a Mondays at 7:30 on WGBH Channel 2. If you don't have a PBS station, or if you have a different one, you can go to www.finds-tv.com, and you'll get a whole schedule of where it's playing.
That's right.
Yep.
Thank you. No, it's and Leslie and I are continuing to participate in the Antiques Roadshow. We still volunteer for that, and so we'll be still traveling with that group. But in the meantime, we're doing, you know, 26 shows. Okay.
Now, do you and your brother have like an antique store or something, or do you sell antiques? Do you?
Well, Leslie's been at Sotheby's for over 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, as the expert in American furniture there,
mm-hmm.
Part of a team over there, and I've had my own business for over 15 years, dealing in 18th century and 19th century furniture and decorative arts. So I have my own. A place in New York. He's at Sotheby's, and so we're keeping our day jobs, so to speak.
Mm. I think that it's amazing that nowadays, because of the advent of the internet,
right.
People can run a virtual store on eBay, for instance, and sell stuff all the time. The problem, of course, is that you don't know what you're getting or who you're dealing with, and I don't know if you've run into people talking about that.
No, absolutely. I mean, the internet is just. Obviously, so dramatically changed the face of things of our market. Yeah, you're right. Think about it. Years ago, we could have if you wanted to sell something, and let's say you were in rural Pennsylvania, you'd have to put out a sign on the main road and take put another sign where you take a left and a right, and you hope that somebody goes over to your tag sale with your little table with your stuff out. Well, today you put it on the internet, and somebody in China, can bid on it. Somebody in Beijing.
Mm.
Is looking at what you have for sale, so versus having to drive down that one little road in rural Pennsylvania.
It seems to me that most of the people that might be interested in calling you might be people who have inherited things from their grandparents or something, or moved into a house. Or yes. is that where a lot of this comes from? Like old family heirlooms.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's people that inherited things, people that have picked them up at tag sales, that vase that someone always wondered about. It's people like that.
Yeah, we have an antique desk here and an antique table that turns around with, but they both were broken and we had them restored, and that probably diminishes the value completely, but they look nice now.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, another part of the show is where we tell people, get some tips and bring some experts on the show as to how you can preserve your heirlooms. How do you get that stain out of a piece that's where somebody left their beer bottle on your table the night before?
Mm-hmm.
And then another part of the show we're excited about is what we talk about with interior designers about how you can interweave antiques in your own life. So how you can live with antiques, have them in your home, and we go to designer show houses around the country to get tips from the top designers about. About how to live with antiques, and that's going to range from 400-year-old pieces to retro furniture. Even we're going to get into 70s and even 80s furniture, which is now just becoming collectible. early 80s furniture, so 1980s, that is.
I noticed that a lot of the shows you went to Newport, Rhode Island. Any significance to that?
Oh, no, we're not. I think that's just because when we're in a town, we try to do a few things in that town, and so far we've been in everywhere from ranging from Philadelphia to Washington, Maine, Virginia.
Nantucket.
Nantucket, yeah, you're right. We're going Concord, Mass. We're going to California next week to do a filming in L.A.
Wow, that's so, kind of fun.
Oh, it's fun. I mean, we're just having a blast. It's just we were recently up on a lake in New Hampshire in a canoe. We showed up at a camp, and we with Leslie and I bickering with each other over who's doing the navigating. he was rowing too much on the right, and I was rowing too much on the left, I guess. I don't know.
That actually brings up a very good point, though. I know you guys are twins, obviously.
Yeah.
You look a lot alike. But do you guys get along all the time? I mean, if you're together all the time working and stuff, do you get on each other's nerves?
We actually bicker once in a while, and because we're brothers, and unless it's too much, I think that'll be fun for the viewers to see see two brothers disagreeing once in a while and then agreeing sometimes.
Yeah, you don't want to get into a bad argument where you guys don't work together anymore, and that kind of kills the whole thing, you know?
No, we're totally. The nice thing about having an identical twin is that you always have a best friend, and I get to see my brother a lot more. I mean, we're so close because we came from the same ag, of course. It's a split cell. So we sometimes finish each other's sentences, and it's fun because on the show we don't always agree. I mean, most of the time we do, but we don't always agree, and that hopefully that'll make it interesting because it's not scripted, and that's, the producer, and by the way, the producer, the director Russ Morash, I don't know if you realize that you may know this, but the French chef, Julia Child,
right.
This old house, Ask This Old House, he is the director and producer of those.
Right.
And he's just a classic. We're honored to be working with him. And he's won Emmys, for years. And
he's a legendary. He's a legendary antique himself.
He is. I don't know if he'd want to be called an antique, but maybe he would. He'd probably say, do I have a nice patina? Do I have a nice surface? I don't know. But he sure is a pleasure to work with. And, like I say, last night, just kind of wake up in the morning and pinch ourselves and go, geez, we've got a TV show about something that we love doing every day. So it's not a job. It's just a constant treasure hunt.
If one of the millions of people listening to this show has something in their house that they think is incredible, how would they get in touch with you folks?
Well, what they do is one way to do it would be to go to, just as you mentioned, that website, find-tv.com. And then they have a way there to register what you have. And other people, just if you can't, if that that's actually the best way. Other people just have contacted my office, because if they couldn't find that site, just lee@leekino.com, and then I send it on. But the probably the most efficient way would be to go to find-tv.com. And that's the best way. And to just send pictures, and it has to be someone, you have to be willing to go on TV with your things.
Right.
And we're very discreet about where we are, about security, I should say. We usually go through we don't show the front of the building. We often don't use last names, just for security, but, because we realize that people are...
Yeah, they become targets if everybody knows
exactly what they have.
Yeah.
So we'll just say here we are in northern New England at this...
Right.
Great house. But
let me ask you a question. I know you own Leekino American Antiques in Manhattan.
Right.
What is the most valuable piece that you've ever been presented there that you were like, whoa, and someone and ended up selling it for the person?
Well, I guess I'd have to say for me as a dealer, it was the man that contacted me. He was from down south in New York one day, and he had a chest on chest, and he sent a picture of it to me, a blurry picture. And it just said, I'm interested in seeing what this is worth. And the story was is that, and I'll try to tell this briefly, he went once to the MFA in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked in with his children years ago, and they were young children. They were young. And the kids ran over to this big Bombay chest and started pulling the drawers out. And the guard came running out over, of course, and said, children, please stand back. You know, they happened to be pulling the drawers out of a multi-million dollar piece, one of the greatest icons in our field. It was a Bombay chest-on-chest made by John Cogswell. It's the crown jewel of the furniture collection at the MFA in Boston.
Uh-huh.
And the children said, well, we keep our clothes in one just like this at home.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the guard said, sure you do, kids. Sure you do. You know, I'm sure it's just like it, right? And, well, as short of it is, 20 years pass, he sends me a letter. I go down to his house, and up in the little guest bedroom now, because the kids have grown up, is this chest. Turns out it's an icon masterpiece by John Cogswell, the identical twin to the one at the MFA, carved top, carved base. And we ended up, I can't actually mention the exact number, because we have to be discreet about the amount, but it was in the many millions of dollars.
Now, was it in perfect condition, or was it scratched up from the kids and stuff?
No, the kids didn't hurt it. It was 100 years ago. Somebody had restored it and some of the carving. But the man was so thrilled, because when I looked at it and told him it was the real thing, he said, "You mean I didn't waste your time coming down here?" I said, "Not only have you not wasted my time, I'm standing in front of one of the greatest masterpieces I'll ever be in front of, and here it is in your guest room, you know." Hmm. And
it was a
very happy ending, because we sold it, and the man was able to give millions of dollars to cancer research, before he passed away, and it was a great my mom passed away of cancer, so it was a very emotional time too, you know.
Hmm.
Because it was more than just a chest, you know what I mean? It was a nice man, and the last thing before he went, I remember him saying, is that I'm so happy that the piece has found a good home, and that I, you know,
yeah.
that I'm going to make difference with the money from it. So anyway,
that's a nice story.
Thanks.
Now the show is called Find, and it's on PBS, and you should check your local listings or visit www.find-tv.com. And it's a fun show. It's 26 episodes already are scheduled for this year. A half an hour show goes by. It flies by. And it's very educational for someone like me who doesn't really understand antiques to watch the show. So you're doing a good service as well.
Well, Mark, thank you for having me on. Appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. And we wish you a lot of luck with it. And if you're in Boston again, I'll have you come over. You can take a look at the antiques in our house.
I'd like that. That'd be great.
But not for TV, though.
Okay, not for TV. All
no,
right.
No,
right.
I'm a little shy.
All right. Yeah, right.
All right. It was nice to talk to you. Good luck with the show and everything.
Bye, Mark. Thanks
Take
for
care.
Having me on.
Bye. Okay.